I invite you to open scripture with me this morning. We will first read from the book to the Revelation. Revelation to John. Read Revelation 5. You can find that on page 1030 of your pew Bible. Revelation 5, the word of the Lord. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and I heard around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. We'll also return to Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11, and we'll read the verses 23 through to 26. And if you're slower than me at finding it, you'll find it on page 958 of your pew Bible. On Corinthians 11, we begin at verse 23. And here Paul is speaking about the Lord's Supper, and he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Now, focus is going to be on those last words of verse 26. "As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, It's not something we really do that often, is it? Proclaim somebody's death. I was looking through the Clarion as I was preparing for leading Lord's Supper last week at Langley. And I looked at all of the articles at the back of Clarion, did what all of us do, skipped through all of those theological articles and jumped right back to these announcements that's at the back of the Clarion. And as I looked through those announcements, I noticed there were three types of announcements. There were weddings, there were birthdays, and there were funerals. The announcements for the birthdays were all for birthdays that happened a long time ago, 80, 100 years ago. The announcements for weddings were for weddings that happened a long time as well, 50, 25 years ago. But all of the announcements for deaths were deaths that had happened in the past week or the past 2 weeks. We don't proclaim, we don't announce deaths that have happened a long time ago. We might privately mourn, might remember as a family, but we don't publicly announce them. But here, this morning, we gather to publicly proclaim the death of our Lord. And it's important for us to remember that we're not just announcing our Lord's death, we are proclaiming His death. And that word proclaim, it's a word that has a special meaning. In the New Testament, whenever Paul uses that word to proclaim, he uses it for the proclamation of the gospel. Whenever someone goes out and speaks the gospel, he doesn't say that you speak the gospel. He doesn't say that you tell the gospel, but that you proclaim it. It means telling it to someone with the implication that they would respond to what you have said. And that's what we're doing this morning. We are proclaiming the Lord's death. We're not just saying something, but we're telling ourselves that Jesus has died so that our hearts will respond to that, so that we'll take hold of Jesus, so that we'll trust in Him more, so that we will never let go of Him. We are proclaiming. And I want to look at what we are proclaiming together through the lens of Revelation 5. When we think of proclaiming the Lord's death until He comes, if we look at that through the lens of Revelation 5, I'll see that we are proclaiming two things. We are proclaiming the Lamb, and we are proclaiming the Lion. And so the first thing that we'll be proclaiming together this morning is that Jesus is the Lamb. As we sit down at these tables, that's what we are telling our hearts. Jesus is the Lamb. Jesus is the one who has suffered and died and paid for our sins. John, he's in heaven. He's before the throne of God. He's just been presented with a picture of the holiness of God. And now God is holding out this scroll, sealed with seven seals. It's got writing on the front, writing on the back. It's all of God's promises for blessings and for judgment. No one can take that scroll. And so John, he's crying. And then he hears one of the elders say, "Weep no more. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered." I can just imagine John looking up and expecting this Lion to come, to stand before him. A Lion, it's a picture of a king, of someone mighty, of someone strong, of royalty, of authority. And he's in heaven and he's looking and he's waiting for this Lion to come who can take this scroll. But what does he see come? He sees a Lamb. I think anyone would be surprised. John wasn't really surprised because he's seen so much in heaven. I don't think anything was going to surprise him anymore. It's like, oh, here's something else unexpected happening. Not a Lion, but a Lamb. And that's the first thing we remember, that Jesus is the Lamb. The Lamb who has been slain. And when we are standing here and proclaiming, when we're proclaiming Jesus' death, that's the first thing that we tell our hearts. That Jesus is the one who has died and who was slain. And why is that something that we want to proclaim? Why is it something important to tell ourselves? Well, the four living creatures and the 24 elders tell us why in Revelation 5 in the song that they sing, where they sing to the Lamb that He is worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals because He was slain. You were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God. Proclaim the death of Jesus. We're proclaiming that He has been slain for us, and by His blood He has ransomed us to be God's people. You notice that in this passage it says that by His blood we have been ransomed for God. Usually when you speak about being ransomed, it's what you're ransomed from. If you're captured by Somalian pirates and they pay a ransom, you're ransomed from the Somalian pirates. But here it's not here the elders don't speak about what we're ransomed from, but who we're ransomed for. By the blood of Jesus, we're ransomed from sin, we're ransomed from death, yes, but we're ransomed for God. We are God's children. We are His people. We are His sons. We are His daughters. And that's what we proclaim to ourselves. And it's so important that we proclaim that to ourselves because we come here grieved by our transgressions. We come here overwhelmed by our sin. But we come here confessing that God, our Father, blots them out in His compassion and gives us peace again. Jesus is the Lamb of God, and we proclaim His death. We proclaim our forgiveness. We don't only proclaim that Jesus is the Lamb, but we also proclaim that Jesus is the Lion. The Lamb is the Lion, and the Lion is the Lamb. This comes out in Revelation 5 as well, because when John sees this Lamb coming before the throne of God, this isn't just an ordinary Lamb. It's a lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. Now, horns, that's a symbol of authority and power. This lamb is the Lion. A horn is a symbol of a king's authority that he has. And so this lamb is the one who has all authority. Doesn't only have seven horns, but also seven eyes. Eyes are a symbol of seeing. Seven is a number of fullness. The Lamb who can see everything, His omnipotence. So this here is a picture also of the Davidic king. The king who now rules over everything. And this is what we sit down and we proclaim as well. We noticed in 1 Corinthians 11, that passage of Scripture that we read together, it says, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. If this is your first time in church and the first time you've heard those words, I'm pretty sure that would sound quite strange to you. You don't proclaim someone's death until they come. Because when someone dies, it actually means that they're never coming back. That's the implication of death. That's why death is such a sad thing. But we're here to proclaim the death of the Lord until He comes, because our Lord is not only the Lamb who died for us, but He's also the Lion who is ruling right now. He holds this world in His control. He is the one who is in absolute control of everything. He is our living Lord. He is our ruler. And He is coming back again. And that's what we proclaim. And we proclaim that this morning. And depending on who you are here this morning, that's either the greatest comfort or the greatest challenge. If you've submitted to Jesus, it's the greatest comfort. Because you know that Jesus is ruling. You know that Jesus is in control. You know that everything in your life comes from Him. And you know that Jesus is going to return and he's going to put everything to right and he's going to put an end to sin. And you sit there at the Lord's Supper table and that is what you proclaim. I'm holding on to Jesus. And yes, my life is a mess. And yes, my life is difficult. And yes, this coming week is going to be tough. But Jesus is ruling. And everything that comes to me in this week is coming to me from the hand of Jesus. That's what I proclaim to myself. He is the lion. It's a comfort. But it's also a challenge. Is there anyone here who has not submitted their lives to Jesus? The challenge is that Jesus is the lion. He is the king. He is the one who rules. And there will be the time when he comes back and he roars and he shakes the heavens and he shakes the earth. There's no escaping. And so we proclaim this morning that Jesus is the one who rules and that we all must submit to him. As we come to the table of the Lord, let's proclaim that. That Jesus is my lamb, and he is my Savior. And that Jesus is my lion. He is my Lord and my ruler. Let's now respond to the singing of God's word. I mean, to the proclamation of God's word.